So welcome to the show.
All right, welcome back to the deep dive. You guys know the drill, right? We take a complex topic, we break it down, and we give you the need to know info.
That's right. No fluff, just the good stuff.
Exactly. And today we're diving deep, literally, into the world of vitamins.
Specifically, vitamin K.
This is part 3 of our Vitamin Dake series. We've covered D, we've tackled A, and now...
the mysterious K.
You got it. Now, vitamin K might not be as well known as some of its superstar cousins, but trust me, it's playing a critical role behind the scenes, keeping things running smoothly.
Absolutely. And we've got a stack of research here ready to unpack all the latest findings.
We're gonna sift through it all, extract the most important bits, and by the end of this, you'll be a vitamin K whiz.
No more blank stares when someone mentions K1 or K2.
You'll be dropping knowledge bombs like a nutritional ninja. So first things first, why should you even care about vitamin K?
Well, it's a fat-soluble vitamin, which means your body stores it.
Okay, interesting, but what does it actually do?
Two words, blood clotting.
Right. Essential stuff. Make sure we don't bleed out from a paper cut.
Exactly. And the other big one, bone health.
Right. Strong bones. We all want those. But how does vitamin K actually help with those things?
Let's break it down.
Awesome. I'm all ears.
So we have two main types of vitamin K we talk about. Vitamin K1, also called phylloquinone.
Phyllo what now?
Phylloquinone. It's a mouthful.
It is.
But it's the kind you find in leafy green vegetables, spinach, kale, all that good stuff.
Gotcha. So K1 is the plant-based one. What about the other one?
That's K2, menaquinone.
Menaquinone. All right, another tongue twister.
It's one you get from fermented foods, some meats, cheeses.
So K1 from plants, K2 from animal products and fermented things.
Exactly. And here's a cool fact. Your body can actually convert some K1 into K2 if it needs to.
Wow, that's pretty neat. So our bodies are smart enough to do a little DIY vitamin conversion.
They are indeed. But here's where things get even more interesting.
Get me.
Beyond the clotting and bone stuff, researchers are finding more and more potential roles for vitamin K.
Oh, really? Like what?
Well, there's a lot of buzz around its impact on heart health.
Heart health? That's huge.
It is. It seems to play a role in preventing calcium from building up in our arteries.
That's a good thing, right?
Very good. Calcium buildup can stiffen arteries, increase the risk of heart disease. So vitamin K might be protective.
Okay, so blood clotting, bones, potentially heart health, anything else?
Well, some studies even suggest a connection between vitamin K and cognitive function, how our brains work.
Whoa, so this little vitamin might have a hand in everything, from our blood to our bones to our brains.
It's possible. The research is still ongoing, but it's definitely a fascinating area to watch.
That's mind-blowing. And this whole story, how do we even discover vitamin K in the first place? It's not like it just walked up and introduced itself.
It's actually a pretty cool story. Back in the early 1900s, a Danish scientist named Henrik Dam was studying cholesterol in chickens.
Chickens?
Yep, chickens. He put them on a low cholesterol diet and noticed something strange. They started bleeding excessively.
Uh-oh. Sounds messy.
It was. He realized that there was some missing factor in their diet that was essential for blood clotting.
Ah, so that's how vitamin K stepped into the spotlight.
Exactly. And he named it vitamin K, actually from the Danish word coagulation, which means clotting.
That makes sense. So from the very beginning, its name was tied to its blood clotting power.
It was. And its discovery had a big impact, especially for newborns. You see, babies are often born with low vitamin K levels, which can lead to bleeding problems.
That's scary.
It is. But thankfully, because of Dam's discovery, we now give vitamin K shots to newborns to prevent this.
Wow, that's amazing. So this seemingly obscure vitamin has actually been saving lives for decades.
It has, and it plays a big role in other areas of medicine too, like orthopedic surgery.
Right, because strong bones are crucial for healing after surgery.
Exactly. So even though it might not be the most glamorous vitamin, its importance is undeniable.
I'm starting to see that. Okay, let's dive deeper into these crucial functions. First up, blood clotting. You said vitamin K is essential, but can you break down exactly how it helps our blood do its job?
Sure. So our liver produces a bunch of different proteins called clotting factors.
Clotting factors, got it.
These factors are basically the ingredients needed to form a blood clot when we get a cut. But here's the thing. they need vitamin K to be activated.
Activated, like a switch.
Exactly. Without vitamin K, these clotting factors are like cars without gas. They just can't go anywhere.
So vitamin K is the fuel that gets the clotting process moving.
You got it. And if you don't have enough vitamin K, those clotting factors are basically useless.
And that's when you start seeing problems with excessive bleeding.
Exactly. It's like having all the parts to build a house, but no nails to hold it together.
Makes sense. So, vitamin K, the tiny but mighty clotting catalyst. Now let's switch gears to bone health. We all know calcium is key for strong bones, but where does vitamin K fit in?
It's like the unsung hero working behind the scenes. It activates proteins that help bind calcium to your bones.
Okay, so it's like a calcium magnet.
You got it. One of these proteins is called osteocalcin. It's like a little calcium catcher. But it needs vitamin K to turn it on.
So vitamin K flips the switch on osteocalcin, and then osteocalcin can grab calcium and deposit it in our bones.
Exactly. And here's where K2 shines.
K2, the menakinone one.
That's the one. It seems to be particularly good at making sure that calcium goes to the bones and not other places where it could cause trouble.
Trouble? Like where?
Like in our arteries.
Ah, right. We talked about that earlier. So K2 helps prevent calcification, both in our arteries and in other soft tissue.
Exactly. It's all about getting calcium to the right address.
K2, the calcium traffic cop.
Yeah.
I like it. Now, you mentioned earlier that vitamin K might have roles beyond clotting and bones. Can you elaborate on that?
Well, we're starting to understand that vitamin K is involved in all sorts of cellular processes.
Cellular processes? That sounds pretty broad.
It is. It's involved in things like cell growth and development.
So it's not just about keeping us from bleeding and our bones from crumbling. It's actually involved in the fundamental processes of how our cells function.
Exactly. And one of the key areas where we're seeing this is in nerve function.
Nerve function. That's how our brains communicate with the rest of our body, right?
Exactly. Vitamin K seems to be involved in the way that nerve cells signal to each other.
That's pretty amazing. And you also mentioned muscle contraction.
Right. Muscles need calcium to contract properly, and vitamin K plays a role in that process as well.
So from our heartbeat to our ability to walk and talk, vitamin K is in the mix.
It's more interconnected than we initially realized.
Okay, now let's circle back to heart health. Can you explain a bit more about how vitamin K might be protective against heart disease?
Sure. Remember we talked about calcium buildup in the arteries?
Yep, not a good thing.
It's not. It can lead to stiffening of the arteries, which makes it harder for blood to flow through.
Yeah.
That increases the risk of things like heart attack and stroke.
So how does vitamin K help?
It activates a protein called matrix Gla protein.
Matrix Gla protein. Okay, what does that do?
Think of it as a bouncer at a club. Its job is to keep calcium from hanging out in the arteries where it doesn't belong.
So it's like calcium tries to get into the artery and matrix Gla protein says, nope, you're not on the list.
Exactly. And vitamin K is what gives that bouncer the power to do its job.
So more vitamin K, more powerful bouncers, less calcium buildup in the arteries.
That's the idea. And some studies have found that people with higher vitamin K2 levels have a lower risk of heart disease.
That's pretty compelling. But you said earlier that more research is needed.
We do need more long-term studies to confirm this link definitively. But the early evidence is certainly promising.
Exciting stuff. All right, let's talk about how we actually get enough vitamin K. Remind us about the main food sources for K1 and K2.
For K1, your best bet is leafy green vegetables. Spinach, kale, broccoli, Brussels sprouts.
All the good stuff.
Exactly. And for K2, you'll find it in animal products like liver, some cheeses, and fermented foods like natto.
Natto. That's the Japanese fermented soybean dish, right?
The one and only. It's a bit of an acquired taste, but it's packed with K2.
And what about how much we need? Any general recommendations?
The general recommendation is around 90 micrograms per day for women and 120 for men. But remember, that's just a general guideline. Individual needs can vary.
Right, so always best to talk to your doctor about your specific needs. Now, there's one more thing I wanted to touch on. Vitamin K and blood thinners.
Ah, yes. That's an important one.
It sounds like people who are on blood thinners need to be really careful about their vitamin K intake.
They do. You see, blood thinners like warfarin work by interfering with the vitamin K-dependent clotting factors we talked about earlier.
Right, the clotting factors that vitamin K activates.
Exactly. So if someone on warfarin suddenly changes their vitamin K intake, it can throw things out of whack.
Out of whack? How though?
Well, if they suddenly eat a lot more vitamin K, it can make the blood thinner less effective.
So they could be at risk of developing blood clots.
Exactly. And on the flip side, if they drastically reduce their vitamin K intake, it can make the blood thinner, more potent.
And that could increase their risk of bleeding.
Exactly. So it's a delicate balance. People on blood thinners need to work closely with their doctor to manage their vitamin K intake.
Makes sense. Consistency is key. Now, before we move on, there's one form of vitamin K we haven't really talked about, K3. Our sources mainly focus on K1 and K2 when it comes to how our bodies use vitamin K and where we get it from our diets. What's the deal with K3?
You're right. K3, also known as methionine, is a bit different.
Different how?
It's a synthetic form of vitamin K.
Synthetic, okay. So it's not something we'd naturally find in our food.
Exactly. And while it does exist and has been used in certain situations, the information we've gathered for this deep dive really centers on K1 and K2.
So when we're talking about the vitamin K we get from food and how it naturally functions in our bodies, K1 and K2 are the main players.
Precisely. They're the ones that have been studied the most, and they're the ones that are most relevant to our everyday health.
Gotcha. So K3 is kind of off in its own little corner of the vitamin K world.
For the purposes of this deep dive, yes.
All right, that makes sense. So let's look ahead. What are some of the big unanswered questions about vitamin K? What are the researchers still trying to figure out?
One of the big debates right now is about optimal intake. How much vitamin K do we really need to be truly healthy?
Right, because the current recommendations are mostly based on preventing deficiency.
Exactly. But some researchers believe that we might need more vitamin K to fully reap its benefits, especially for things like bone and heart health.
So there's a chance that the current recommendations are too low.
It's possible. And this is where the idea of the vitamin K paradox comes in.
Vitamin K paradox, what's that all about?
Well, for a long time, we thought that vitamin K's only jobs were blood clotting and bone health.
Right, the two big ones.
But now we're discovering that it's involved in so much more.
Like the nerve function and muscle contraction we talked about earlier.
Exactly. And every year, researchers are finding new vitamin K-dependent proteins in different parts of the body.
So it's looking more and more like vitamin K is a multitasker, involved in all sorts of processes we're only just beginning to understand.
Exactly. And this is driving a lot of research into whether we need to rethink our intake recommendations.
Fascinating. So what are some of the other hot topics in vitamin K research right now?
Well, there's a lot of interest in exploring vitamin K's potential as a therapeutic agent.
Therapeutic agent, so using it to actually treat diseases.
Exactly. There's some promising research looking at its potential role in preventing or even reversing arterial calcification.
So potentially using vitamin K to combat heart disease.
That's the hope. And there's also a lot of work being done on refining how we manage vitamin K intake for people on blood thinners.
Right, because as we discussed earlier, that's a tricky balancing act.
It is. But with more research, we can hopefully develop more personalized and precise dosing strategies.
That would be a huge win. And what about vitamin K's role in things like cell growth and cancer? Any interesting findings there?
That's another area where research is ongoing. We're still trying to understand exactly how vitamin K influences these processes. But it's definitely an area to keep an eye on.
It sounds like we're just scratching the surface of understanding everything vitamin K does. And you mentioned new technologies for measuring vitamin K levels. What's that all about?
Right now, it can be tricky to accurately measure the different forms of vitamin K in the body.
So it's hard to know for sure how much someone has.
Exactly. But researchers are working on developing new technologies that would make this easier.
That would be amazing. Imagine being able to get a simple blood test and know exactly what your vitamin K status is.
It would revolutionize how we approach vitamin K. We can make much more personalized recommendations tailored to each individual's needs.
Wow, that's exciting. So it seems like there's still a lot to learn about this humble but powerful vitamin.
There is. But one thing's for sure. Vitamin K is a crucial nutrient that deserves more attention.
I completely agree. So as we wrap up this deep dive, what are the key takeaways you want our listeners to remember?
Well, first and foremost, remember that vitamin K is essential for blood clotting and bone health.
Those are the two biggies.
Exactly. And we're also seeing more and more evidence that it plays a role in heart health, potentially protecting against arterial calcification.
Right. And don't forget about K1 and K2.
K1 from leafy greens, K2 from animal products and fermented foods. Make sure you're getting a good balance of both.
And for those on blood thinners, remember to work closely with your doctor to manage your vitamin K intake.
Consistency is key. And as research continues, we're likely to uncover even more fascinating roles for vitamin K.
I have a feeling this is just the beginning of the vitamin K story.
I think you're right.
Well, thanks for diving deep with us today. We've covered a lot of ground, from vitamin K's role in blood clotting and bone health to its potential impact on heart health and even brain function.
And we've touched on the mystery of K3, the synthetic form.
But remember, for most of us, focusing on getting enough K1 and K2 from our diet is the way to go.
Exactly. And as we learn more about this multifaceted nutrient,
it really makes you think, doesn't it? If vitamin K, which we thought we knew so well, is turning out to be so much more complex and influential than we realized,
what other hidden gems are lurking in the world of nutrition?
What other seemingly minor nutrients might be holding the keys to better health and well-being?
It's a fascinating thought.
It is. And it's a reminder that we're always learning, always discovering new ways to optimize our health.
Absolutely. The journey never ends.
Well, until our next deep dive, keep exploring, keep questioning, and keep nourishing your body with the best possible fuel. Thanks for listening. It just depends if I'm in your town. It's hard to want to be flashy and try and keep it humble. I got a buzz because I beat a bumble. See, there I go, go. Bragging with the flow. Is it my fault that I'm so cold? Like 32 below. In this game, I'm trying to go like 32 and 0. And I know I'm about to blow. I'm detonating on the low. So, welcome to the show. The best around. It just depends if I'm in your town. Yeah. Best around, it just depends if I'm in your town.